This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into the Lombardi Line on a Tuesday. This show, as always, presented by DraftKings alongside the one and only Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. Got a great 2 hours on tap. Plenty of college hoops conversation going on with the Field of 68 getting underway with the first four today. We'll have Tom Crean join the program, also get some best bets from Will Hill, and the NFL never sleeps. It is 365, ladies and gentlemen. Another former GM will join us and Randy Mueller to discuss that. And, you know, we got some free agent stuff sliding out every single day, Michael. So the NFL, it really is, though. It's 24/7, 365, and they don't let any other sport have a moment.
No, they really don't. They just turn it right up. And it's always interesting, right? So we move from free agency into now we're in that trading mock draft period. You know how much I love this, right? We're into the mock draft. This team's doing that. I heard this. I heard that. You know, back to lying season. Mm-hmm. Again, we go lies, lies, lies. So, you know, it's good. It's fun. It really is. It's fun to look at the teams, to see the plans, to see what they really think of themselves, and to see the reality, which is oftentimes not what we read about.
I am excited because you bring up the draft. To kick us off in hour two, we're going to read some tea leaves when it comes to the draft and some things that we're seeing out there and what is the truth and reality versus the latter. But real quickly to get us started, I just want to make sure folks have the updated lines and numbers for these two games that are going to come up today in the NCAA. First four from Dayton, Ohio, Wagner and Howard. Howard's a 3.5-point favorite to kick us off. Total 128. And Michael, I know that you have a KenPom subscription. You make sure you reload for this time of year. You'll be pleased to know these are the two lowest rated teams in KenPom in the tournament.
Well, I got a big challenge ahead of me. I mean, I won this damn thing in our family chat last year, got no damn credit for it whatsoever. Wow. Just completely dismissed all of them. Berman, his family. My two sons don't even acknowledge it that I won. And so now I got to come back. I got to repeat. I feel like the Chiefs. I have to come back and repeat the family championship.
Then maybe you'll get respect.
Yes, I will be burning the Ken. No, they won't either. I'm burning the KenPom Midnight Oil. Of course and after this is over with, I'll wait another year to renew the subscription again.
I'm proud of you. That is a game that I will have on. It'll be on one of my television screens, but probably not listening to. I've got other stuff that I may be more interested in tonight. CSU and Virginia also going toe-to-toe, which we love that pack line defense, don't we, with Virginia, who is a 4-1 shot even to make the tournament 10 minutes before Selection Sunday. So they probably shouldn't be here, but Michael, I got to tell you, I love the Mountain West Conference so much. And I'm looking at my bracket. I'm filling things out. We're going to give out our final four picks later on in the program. I'm going through. And I like a lot of these Mountain West teams to win a couple games. And then I look in our updated guide that your boy Steve Mackinnon has all the tips and trends and all of these things historically. This makes me sick to my stomach. Since 2003, Mountain West team seeded 8th or worse, Michael. 3-32 straight up. 5-28-2 ATS. I wanted to bet Colorado State. I wanted to see them move forward, maybe win a couple games. Nevada, I have them winning a couple games in the tournament. That's the record I have to go by for these seeds. Are you kidding me?
I know, but that's one of the things I do on KenPom is I go to his, he has those conference rankings, right? Now, everybody says the Big Ten was the best conference. And we saw Michigan State get in there with 19 wins because the Big Ten's really good. And according to him, he's got the Big Ten as the third best conference in the league. He's got the Big 12 still. The Mountain West, he has, 7th overall, Stormy. I hate to break the news to you.
Yeah, it's not pretty.
Like, to me, that makes me a little bit concerned about putting too many teams in the Mountain West in my picks, it's a little bit, I got to balance that.
I'm very concerned. I'm emotional. And prior to SDSU and the run that they went on last year too, they were on a run of losing like 10 of 11 games as a league. So not ideal. But that is the action that we have tonight. CSU laying 2.5 total in that one, really low, 121.5, although shockingly it has gone up. And we'll get back to college basketball a little bit later on, but let's get to the NFL, Michael, because there's some things to discuss coming out of Steelers country. First, they signed Russell Wilson. And then before they traded for Justin Fields, they traded away Kenny Pickett to the Philadelphia Eagles. He had his introductory press conference yesterday, and when talking to reporters, he had this to say about how he handled the situation. Take a listen.
I think the communication You know, is what it is. It was behind closed doors. You know, I'm confident in the way that I handled it. I handled it the way I should have handled it. You know, I'm excited to be here. It worked out so well that Philly was the place I ended up landing in. So I think everything happens for a reason. And, you know, I'm right where I'm supposed to be.
And so that's, of course, my
supposed to be.
Yeah.
Stormy. I mean, here's a guy's a first round pick and he's settling to be a backup and he's happy and he think he did the right thing. I mean, like, this to me drove me crazy. This is one of the worst press conferences I've ever heard. Like you're happy to be a backup now? This is what you aspire to be? You're never going to play. Jalen Hurts is a rock. He's playing, right? Like, what are you doing? Like, this is where you wanted to go to? Don't you have an ounce of competitive spirit within your body to say, I want to start. I'm a first-round pick. I played 4 years at Pitt. I got to go play. I mean, this is disappointing. Like, this is so disappointing that it deserves a daily coach column for it. Because I'm like, where is the excitement and the competitiveness? Like, where is it? Like if I were the GM of the Eagles, if I was Howie Roseman and I saw that, I would be like, I'm worried about this guy a little bit. Yeah. I mean, because when it's going to get tough, is he going to say the communication was good and I did the right thing? Did the right thing? You didn't even come try to compete.
Well, and like, that's what I keep on going back to is like the situation. Granted, it wasn't great to begin with, where he finds out about the Russell signing on social media. He goes to talk to Tomlin about it. And Tomlin says that, hey, Russ is in pole position to be the starter. And then immediately he's like, OK, well, I'm out of here. Like, I just don't like that mentality. And it goes back to the all of the things that came out about him last year in season when he was coming back from the injury. And granted, even in this press conference yesterday, he said that all of those reports about him not wanting to be second string weren't true and yada, yada, yada. But like, that's what we keep hearing. Right. And so I feel like where there's smoke, there's fire. And if we keep hearing that he doesn't want to do X, Y, Z, and he's going to do whatever he can to get out of a situation. Like, that's not what you want in a leader, and that's not what you want in a quarterback. So maybe a backup is the right role for him.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't want a non-competitor on my team. I want the backup quarterback to be like, get me in that game. Get me in there. I'll show you what I can do. You know, Gardner Minshew, just give me a chance to play. Let me go in there and show you what I can do. Meanwhile, this guy's, well, this is where I'm meant to be. Because you were an Eagle fan growing up? I mean, like, seriously, like, this is your career. This is your career. You got traded for breadcrumbs. Like, that's how much nobody thought of you. Like, you got to revamp your career. You don't want to compete again. Russell Wilson isn't coming in with an MVP trophy underneath his belt. Like, why wouldn't you want to compete? I did not like it. I get it. I know I'm old and, you know, stay off my lawn, all that crap. But the reality of it is like, at some point, competitiveness never goes out of style. It's not going to go out of style. And you need that from the quarterback position if you're going to lead a team. Nobody's going to follow a mopey, well, here I am guy. Who's going to follow that?
No, but Michael, like,
I was so disappointed.
Me too. And I just don't understand necessarily the desire to go somewhere else where you're, for sure, barring a significant injury, not going to have an opportunity to play, as you alluded to earlier. Like, at least with Russell Wilson, you imagine the leash isn't going to be particularly long, right? It's not like you're owing him the $39 million. Like, they're not paying him. They're not beholden to him.
Yeah, just go in and compete, right? I got 2 more years to pick up my fifth-year option. What he just did is basically say, well, my fifth-year option's, forget about that. Like, I'm giving that money away. Like, you just basically told the National Football League you want to be a backup for the rest of your life. Here's your clipboard, you know? I mean, I mean, it's just to me, and I get it. You know, not happy, transfer. Go somewhere else. Get in the portal. You know, not going to – we'll have Tom Crean on in the next block. Don't want to play in the NIT? Don't play. Like, I get that's where we live in. But, look, if you're going to be a professional athlete, you got to compete. That's number one. I don't care what anything else happens. You got to learn how to embrace competition. And you've got to and really relish in it. Or else you're going to have a really good couple years, but you'll be standing there watching the games next to me.
Michael, another one here. What's going on with L'Jarius Sneed? Because we see the reports coming out of Indianapolis media that they're ironing out the details with the Chiefs for a trade. And then ESPN Stephen Holder and Adam Schefter both are shutting it down, saying as of right now, it's not happening. There's no conversations. What's going on from your perspective?
Well, I think there's always a timing issue. That, you know, we know what's happened to us in terms of, for me, with these news aggregate people that they just kind of put things together. Were the Chiefs interested in Sneed? Yeah, I think they were. They were interested in Danielle Hunter to start off free agency. But I think once they started to do investigative work and they kind of got involved, I think they were concerned about some issues that they thought, along with the price tag and the cost of the draft compensation. So what I think we have a hard time understanding is people kicking the tires and genuine interest. Mm-hmm. Did the Colts offer a second round pick for Snead? No. No. Did they engage in trade talks? No. Were they interested? Yes. And they did their homework, and now they walked away, and they gave their money that they were going to denote that they were going to try to sign Danielle Hunter and try to sign other rushers. They gave it to their own players. And now they can use the draft. They kind of re-signed their team. And you say, well, they didn't make any improvements. Yeah, they did. They got the team. They got their players back that they wanted, and now they can add to it. It doesn't mean you have to go spend money on some new player when you reinforce your own team, and your own team was close enough to win to beat Houston in a playoff game. Maybe you have a chance to add more talent to it by the draft or some other way. So I think the price tag on Snead's too high in terms of the contract and then the compensation. Remember, for the Chiefs to give it up, they got to get something better than they could get a compensatory three if he was out in the open market. So they would have to, you're going to have to give up at least a four and something else for him. And, you know, it seems worth it, but then you're eating a lot of cap room.
Yeah. So whatever team trades for him has to give up assets. And then he's obviously out here trying to get paid and get that money in the bank, too. So it's assets and compensation. I do have one more follow up question on this, so we can hit that when we come back from the break. And looking at some of the biggest deals of the offseason so far as well, continuing our NFL talk and news. We're just getting started here on the Lombardi Line. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you haven't already, make sure you check out the new and improved VSiN.com. Our website's got a fresh new look, enhanced navigation, and a mobile-first focus. But all that same great educational content now on the website. Everything you need to bet the madness in March, all things college hoops covering the homepage right now. Plus, you know, our guy Michael Lombardi is always locked and loaded with the weekly articles. NFL free agent hit and misses this free agency season. So always appreciate Michael getting down there. VSiN.com. And Michael, I want to follow up on one last thing here with the L'Jarius Sneed conversation we had with the Kansas City Chiefs. We were talking about, the Colts' potential interest and talking about how kicking the tires and an offer are very different things. Is there a chance that the Chiefs might be able to get him to play on the tag this year? Is that a realistic possibility?
Yeah. I mean, who's going to turn down $19 million? I mean, really, you know, everybody turns it down in March. Everybody turns down $22 million. I'm not playing on that tag. Jesse Bates, I'm not playing on that tag. Oh, here I am. I show up the first day when the checks are coming. They're going to play on the tag, of course. That's the basically when you do this, Stormy, you're renting the player for the year. You're saying he's got value to me. I'm going to rent him. I don't want to do a long-term deal because it ties up too much cap room. I can't afford it. But I can do it on a one-year deal. Mm-hmm. So like rents, like when you rent a home, it costs you more than if you were to buy it because you don't have the down payment. So you rent the player for the year. T. Higgins, going to rent him in Cincinnati, 1 year. Okay, he goes, gives me a year to draft a receiver, develop the young receivers we drafted last year. And then, of course, I got to pay Ja'Marr Chase. So this is kind of like roster management on how you're doing it.
The Kansas City Chiefs, an odds-on favorite to win a ninth straight AFC West championship. We'll see how things play out with L'Jarius Sneed, and we'll keep tabs on it for sure. We'll come back to the NFL in a little bit, but it is March Madness time here. Officially, we turn the page, the first four beginning today. We've got the NIT underway today as well. And to help us break it all down, we welcome in Tom Crean, college basketball analyst at ESPN, former head coach at Marquette, Indiana, Georgia, took the Golden Eagles to their last Final Four. Coach, we appreciate you taking some time today.
I'm happy to do it. I appreciate you getting me on a little bit earlier. I've got an NIT game tonight, Minnesota at Butler. So I just got in from Tampa, Mike, and I'm on my way to try to catch the this walkthrough and the other walkthrough and get ready to try to do a game tonight. So everything got a little bit sped up. So I appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate you having it, and we loved what you said about the NIT. I just went off on Kenny Pickett about not wanting to compete for the starting job, and your NIT conversation was ideal because, look, the one thing I do know, what you said is so true, you can't simulate game reps. And every player needs more game reps. Why was Florida Atlantic so good last year? Because they had a lot of old, the guys that have played together for a long time. There's value in continuing to play.
Absolutely. And there's value in continuing to coach. And at the end of the day, you know, that's what you're here for. I mean, I just had a conversation with my brother-in-law, Jim, who they're getting ready to move to California, and they've got the owners' meetings and all that stuff coming up. And like, he said, what are we there for if we're not to make them better? I mean, there's a guy that understands the business of the NIL and college football and how big of a business it is as well as anyone. And I think what I look at it, guys, is like there's only so many opportunities for anybody to do what they love, whether it's coach, whether it's play, especially the players, because they're as much to blame in a lot of this situation as anybody else. But like, we're getting so misguided and distracted by what is urgent, which is the portal, which is the recruiting, which is the money, which is more money at the program you're in or driving the money up so you can get a better deal. And we're losing sight of what is important. And important it is, no matter how many days you get to make your team better, you got to take advantage of it. If you don't have them all, you don't have them all. If you don't have all your coaches, you don't have all your coaches. But like ESPN is still televising all of these games, and you're going to see kids leaving NCAA tournament teams. And it's just the way that it is. And you've got to continue to understand what's most important, because when these days are gone, they are gone. And I think there's so many players, more in basketball than football, that more in basketball that think, man, the ball is never going to stop bouncing, or I'm always going to have a team to coach. I got to get my business right. I got to get the portal right. Yeah, you can do all that. No one said that's not important. No one said that's not important at all. But like, what are you doing it for if you're not coaching and competing and wanting to play in the games? And it's getting kind of ridiculous. And again, everybody's got their reasons, but the most important thing is competing, playing in the games, and giving yourself a chance to get better, no matter what anybody thinks.
Yeah, and Coach, there are a whole lot of people that agree with those sentiments. So thanks again for reiterating and sharing that. And I also love these athletic families, the subtle, oh, just talking to my brother-in-law, Jim Harbaugh, by the way, who he was talking about there.
I was, literally, yeah. I was. I mean, yeah, I'm not name-dropping on Jim and John Harbaugh. Yeah. And I name-drop when I say I talked to Mike Lombardi, but I mean...
Me too, Coach.
Exactly. Family's not name-dropping.
As we do go ahead and look to the NCAA tournament with all the action getting underway, in your estimation, who's playing the best basketball in the country right now? The UConn Huskies are the favorite, but they've got a tough bracket, obviously. Who do you think's playing the best?
You know what's crazy? The people that are playing the best are all in the East region, to me. It's beyond belief. I mean, UConn, without a doubt, is playing extremely well and getting better. They had a tough game at Creighton, but I think it was their fourth game in 10 days. They looked tired, which is natural. They haven't looked that way ever since. I think Iowa State is ridiculously good. They looked tired a couple weeks ago. They had a couple of tough games, but they look fresh right now. They lead the country in forcing turnovers, which I think is something, you know, for your listeners, when they look at that, you have to take care of the ball in the NCAA tournament. There's no doubt about that, okay? But at the end of the day, if you turn people over and if you rebound, that's probably going to carry over. And Iowa State leads the country and points off turnovers. McNeese State is second and Samford is third. So like, those things are important attributes, and just like low turnovers are. And so I think Iowa State's really good. Illinois just won the Big Ten. Auburn just won the SEC. I think BYU has got Final Four potential because of the way they shoot the ball. And they have a five man named Ali Khalifa that can shoot the ball and pass the ball. There's numerous other teams. I think Marquette's getting ready to be good again because they'll have Tyler Kolick fresh. He may not be totally healthy. I doubt he will be totally healthy, but he'll be fresh. And I think that means a lot inside of this tournament. I still like Florida, even though they lost Micah Hanlockton the other day. I think Tennessee rebounds from the way they played this past weekend. Kentucky can certainly score points in a shortened bench situation. I think that even is better for Kentucky, which you can play a shortened bench in two games over 3 days. So those are kind of the teams, but I love the teams in the East region as much as anything. And only one team is coming out of there, which just defies logic. Unless they put Iowa State in the same bracket of UConn, because they wanted to prove a point that they shouldn't have scheduled the way that they scheduled in the non-conference. I have no idea how you get to Iowa State is the eighth best team in the country based on the season and based on the last couple of weeks.
You know, we keep asking ourselves that question when it comes to, you know, North Carolina. KenPom has them as the ninth, and they ended up with a one seed. Auburn, you know, ended up as a four seed. There seems to be such an imbalance. Do they, as they select this coach, do they look at some of those analytical numbers like the KenPom site?
I would think they do. I would think they look at everything, and I really don't know. And I haven't really asked anybody that's been in that room, and I think for the most part, they're going to stick with what they need to say for a soundbite. So I don't really know. But the bottom line is you better start doing the look test and the eye test and look around and like, man, you put Iowa State against North Carolina, I'm coming out of there with Iowa State. You put Auburn against North Carolina, you put Illinois against North Carolina, I'm coming out of there with those teams. And North Carolina's fine. They're good, but they struggle guarding pick and roll. Just look at the way they struggled guarding DJ Burns the other night. They struggled guarding the dribble. They can score points. See, I think what happens is everybody thinks they get caught in this eye test of scoring points, and they don't realize that so many of these games, especially in the last 8 minutes, 6 minutes, 5 minutes, are coming down to the half court. So, like, you better be able to execute your offense and get stops in the half court and keep people off the foul line or get to the foul line, keep people from getting offensive rebounds or getting your own offensive rebounds. And if you've got, like, Iowa State's a great example. They can shoot. They're quick. They've got good two-way players. They're good enough inside to beat you. But they're going to be so relentlessly on top of you that it's going to be hard to do anything consistently offensively for 40 minutes. And I'm not sure what everybody's looking at. I'm really not. I know spending all this time I spend on film and being in the studio and games, there are certain teams that I would want no part of this week, and there are certain teams that if I was had a chance to play them on a Saturday or Sunday after the first round games.
Coach Crean, thank you for lending the time. Get to shoot around and have a great call tonight.
Thanks, Coach. Thanks, appreciate you.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Really, really appreciate his time and insight. BYU to the Final Great Four, stuff. By the way, 15-1, if it's of interest. We'll be right
that's
back.
That's pretty low. Oh, yeah. Nice.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're rolling along here with hour two of the Lombardi Line on VSiN and DraftKings Network. This show, as always, presented by DraftKings alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonatoni with you. In about 15 minutes, we'll be joined by another former NFL GM, Randy Mueller, as we continue to discuss all things free agency and the NFL draft coming up in just about a month. We'll also have best bets for all the first round games with our guy, Will Hill, who will join us coming up in a half an hour. And I know this is what everybody has been waiting for. The NFL show. Michael, myself, and our producer, Elliot, giving out our final four picks. Laugh all you want, but Michael said at the beginning of the show, he won his bracket last year, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. I hate to say this, but I'm sure the competition wasn't as steep as all these other ones, you know? So I can't know if I can take full credit for that, Stormy. But look, it's a great time of the year. Enjoy it. You know, today's spring. We didn't even say happy spring. I think, as Millie told me this morning, it doesn't happen until 11 o'clock tonight. But still, we're at spring. Why not enjoy it?
Spring has sprung. It's beautiful. We got the first four beginning today. Two games on True TV. Wagner getting 3.5 points against Howard. Total 128.5. And Colorado State laying 2.5 against Virginia. The total now in 121.5. Both getting set in the evening. But we'll get to college hoops a little bit later on. We're going to kick off hour two talking a little NFL because, Michael, this is the time of year as well where we are seeing mock drafts popping out each and every day. And you've got some strong feelings about this. What's on your mind?
Well, I mean, this happens every year. This is like the beginning of spring. Spring rings eternal. I mean, here's the problem with mock drafts. Everybody is a mock draft. In fact, I was on McAfee today, and he said we were trying to get some mock draft experts on. Like, what makes a mock draft expert? I have no idea, right? But here's the problem. Everybody's entitled to have a mock draft. They're fun to look at, right? And they're interesting. But they're not real. That's all fantasy world. It's nothing real because the premise is wrong. You're saying your evaluation is correct and here's what they should do. When we know that maybe your evaluation isn't correct and maybe this isn't what they think they should do. So, and then what happens is when we get to draft day, oh, we're shocked, right? We're seeing this right now with the quarterbacks. You know, the Giants had J.J. McCarthy in for had dinner with them. You know, the Commanders are going to have dinner with them too. What's wrong with that? Why, they, you know, you can't pick him at two. Who said that? The mock draft people? I don't know. Like, they're grading systems. If you spend time understanding a grading system, you would realize how ridiculous these mock drafts are in terms of how they relate to a grading system. So all they do, and this is what drives me crazy, is all they do is confuse everybody, and they make players believe this is where they're going to go when it's not true. It might be true. They may be lucky. I mean, there's some, last year there was like, I think they keep score of them, Stormy. And one guy had like, one of the guys who's one of the biggest guys, he had like one team right. One out of 32. I mean, so like, we're going to believe something that's historically wrong to be true? Like, okay, Marvin Harrison is definitely the number one receiver. I talked to three teams in the league. Neighbors is higher than Harrison on their board. Is that true? Maybe they're lying to me. But there's a conversation to be had, you know? And so I think these mock drafts just really create so much second guessing because you're basing it on the premise that whoever mock you're reading is right. And then it drives up the fan base. I want that guy. I want that guy. You know, it's so bad.
Whoever that is that did one out of 32, like that's hard to do. That's very hard to do. But you're right. It's, you know, what?
Not for the mockers. It's not for the mock draft guy. It's not. Some people don't even get any right.
But it is very much so like what you know and what you think you know. And even last year with the CJ Stroud stuff and the Carolina Panthers and like, oh, with him and McCown, we're going to go play basketball together and how that blew up. And everybody thought for a while it was going to be Stroud number one. Not to say that the Panthers made the right or wrong choice, but ultimately they went in a different direction. And you even look at the mock drafts that are coming out right now where no trades are put a part of this. It's just kind of where things are at, where the teams are sitting right now. But we know that the Vikings acquired the number 23 overall pick from the Houston Texans this year with the expectation that they're going to trade up in the draft. And that's not a part of a lot of these draft things, which leads us to kind of like, let's get into what our guy Elliot is calling the NFL draft tea leaves. And I know we don't like speculating. We don't like guessing, but we don't have a lot of firm answers at this point right now. So what do some of these things and rumors that we're hearing actually mean potentially, matched with Michael, things that you are hearing. And let's start with this draft move that the Vikings have made. Is this, in your opinion, like it is to me, clear intent that the Vikings are going up to get a quarterback?
Yeah, I think the Vikings took the month of January and they had a very clear staff meeting, team organizational meeting and say, okay, here's where we are. Here's where we want to go to. How do we get there? What's the model we have? How do we do it? Do we re-sign Hunter at his age? Where does that put us? Do we re-sign Cousins at his age? Where does that put us? All those things go into the model. And you start looking at that and say, okay, maybe it's time we pivot. Maybe it's time we let Cousins go. We get younger. We kind of reduce the roster. I think that's what they did. And I think they're having a really good offseason. I think they're using their resources well. They're not going to go down the Kirk Cousins getting trapped lane ever again. And I think if they can get this quarterback that they like, all of a sudden they now can compete in a North division, which could be very good. If Caleb goes to the Bears, which we expect, makes them a better team, a much better team. Green Bay's a better team. Detroit's a good team. And now if Minnesota gets a quarterback and they develop them with their team, they're a good team. So the North could go from being laughingstock to being one of the best in the NFL.
J.J. McCarthy, a minus 130 favorite right now at DraftKings Sportsbook to be selected by the Minnesota Vikings. Let's stick with quarterbacks because Elliot and I had a difference of opinion reading the tea leaves on the Commanders moving on from Sam Howell. They trade him to the Seahawks and signing Marcus Mariota. What did this mean to you as it pertains to what they might do in the draft?
Well, I think they wanted a veteran behind him. I don't think they want two rookies in the quarterback room because basically Howell would be learning a new system. I think they want a veteran presence to help the rookie that they draft move forward. Speaking of, let's go back to Minnesota for one quick second, Stormy. Okay. Josh McCown's the quarterback coach at Minnesota. He coached Drake May in high school. That's why all the Drake May association with Minnesota is coming from, because he coached him in high school. Does that mean they like Drake May? I don't know. But that's where we're getting all that. As it relates to Howe, I think this was time. They needed to get – Howe was the starter. They needed to remove a starter, and they wanted to define the roles, right? They wanted to say, Marcus, you're the starter. Once we draft a guy, you become the backup. Where they couldn't say to Howe, you're the backup, because they're not sure they wanted to keep him as a backup. See, Howe wanted to start. Unlike our man Kenny Pickett, Howe wanted to start. So he went to Seattle, and he's going to compete.
So tell me if you think there's any truth to this, because Sam Howell, coming from North Carolina, and Drake May were best friends. Like, they know each other extremely well. They're really, really close friends. To me, Sam Howell moving on was perhaps a signal that they actually had interest in Drake May and didn't want to have a competition with two friends. Or is that not anything that is on a GM's radar? Elliott's perspective was totally different, was like, hey, let's move on from Howell so that we can get Jaden Daniels. We don't want another North Carolina quarterback. And so did you read into that one way or another? How did you feel?
I feel like this. I feel like nobody says we don't want another North Carolina quarterback. I don't know if they're at the point where they know who they're going to pick, but I think what they felt like, how they couldn't rehabilitate how they were with him for the year. He got the crap beat out of him. And so they had a chance. They needed to move him, and they wanted to put a veteran behind him. And so to bring Mariota in and to make Howe a third stringer, you either trade him now or you trade him later in the offseason. And they took a nothing deal. And the only reason they did that deal is because at the end of the day, you know, John Schneider was trying to sign Drew Lock back, but he couldn't get him back because the Giants were kind of indicating that perhaps he could compete for the starting job, even though they're saying that's not true. And even though the Giants are now starting to work out guys all over the place.
So many layers to that conversation, which we can save for another day. The Broncos obviously move away from Russell Wilson. He's now with the Pittsburgh Steelers in their quarterback room. Jarrett Stidham and Ben DiNucci right now. Does this signal anything to you about what Denver might do? Are they also in the rookie quarterback market, or do you think that they're good going into the season with Stidham and what they have here?
No, Denver is always going to be in the quarterback market until further notice. Until they draft somebody and we see it on the field, they are in the quarterback market until further notice. And now they're very shrewd. Sean's not going to tell anybody anything. He's not going to discuss the quarterbacks or say who he likes, but he is going to work diligently to get the quarterback. And he knows, like all good personnel people know, that until they get the quarterback, they're just spinning tires.
And as Sean Payton said when he talked about the T-shirt from the fan that had the list of all of the different quarterbacks that they've had since Peyton Manning on the T-shirt, like, he's hoping that they get one that is the guy for the long haul. So we'll have to wait and see who ultimately that might end up being. Should there also be any cause for concern for some of these teams trying to reach up and get a quarterback in the draft, considering how that's gone each of the last 2 years? Trevor Lawrence, the last remaining starter from the 21 or 22 draft class, aside from Brock Purdy, who was the last quarterback standing in 22.
Stormy, there's been 19 quarterbacks picked from 21 to 22, and only two are starters, and you just named them, Lawrence and Purdy. Think about that for a moment, right? Only two remain as starters. So, yeah, I think you have to trust your evaluation, and you've got to trust the quarterback that you feel fits what you want to do perfectly. And you got to understand that there's going to be ups and downs, but you want to be able to design the offense around his skill set and what he can do effectively. So, of course, that concerns me tremendously.
A former number one overall pick and the last pick in the draft, the last two standing. What a remarkable sport we have here in the National Football League. We're going to hit the break, but continue some of this draft and free agency talk with another former NFL GM, Randy Mueller, joining us coming up next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Never a better time to have skin in the game with DraftKings Sportsbook than right now, because we've got a VSiN exclusive offer for new DraftKings customers. Earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager. You can earn up to $2,500 in bonus bets your first 3 days on DraftKings. Don't wait. Download the app now and use our code Lombardi when you sign up. That'll earn you a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager right now. And right now we are back here on the Lombardi Line alongside former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. I'm Stormy Bonantoni with you. And we're going to close things out talking a little hoops. Our guy Will Hill, who joined us moments ago, also helped us get our pro tip of the day here, Michael, which of course we do every show, every day at the network. You can search pro tips by sport and by show at VSiN.com. But he was talking a little bit about how some of these games early on in the first rounds might be worth looking at a first half under, because scoring tends to be a little bit slower these initial games of the postseason as teams adjust to new arenas and tournament play in general. You can be pressing a little bit and maybe even over-energized too, where you're missing.
And the sight lines are difficult, right? I mean, it's hard to get used to it. You know, it's funny. Tom Crean was talking about he was doing the Butler game, and I can think back to the movie Hoosiers when Coach Dale brought his Hickory High team into the Butler Arena and measured the court and measured the rim and told everybody it's the same. But boy, it sure don't look like the same gym at Hickory, right? It looks different. The sight lines are different. And I think that does affect you. Now, I know they get to shoot at times on it, but still, the trajectory is difficult. And I know when they play in those big stadiums, like football stadiums, whether it's at the RCA Dome, if they still call it that, or in Minneapolis and all those, it's really a challenge. So I think Will's onto something there. The under tends to come in the first half as they get accustomed to actually getting familiar with the rims and familiar with the sight lines.
Again, VSiN.com, how you can find our daily betting tips and also where you can get our March Mania betting guide out today. Everything that you need to know for every game and round of the tournament. And Michael, our brackets right now, still perfect. Nothing's gone wrong yet. A long way to go, though. So yesterday, we said today we were going to come in and give out our final four picks. As you were going through making your picks in the bracket yesterday, how did you feel? What's the level of confidence you have right now?
Well, I kind of wanted to see, I didn't want to go down the middle of the road and take the one seeds. And I wanted to kind of look at it from the lens of, because I think the seeding is so damn important, right? You know, yeah, UConn's a great team, but the wear and tear of playing good teams week after week can get to you, right? And so, like, for example, in the West, right? The West is North Carolina, which KenPom has the ninth best team. You know, and the number two team is Arizona. Are they this, and I just felt like Alabama has played in a lot of tough games this year in a very good conference. Maybe perhaps they could come from out there in the West. I don't think it's the worst place to be in the West. Now, Baylor, the best conference, according to KenPom, is the Big 12 where Baylor plays. So that might be a challenge. But look, New Mexico, I think New Mexico's got a good chance to kind of go as far as they could. And they barely made the tournament.
Yeah, they're favored as an 11 seed over a 6 in Clemson in that opening round. I have them winning that opening game and then losing to Baylor in the round of 32. But it's honestly, Michael, I had my bracket filled out a certain way. And when I read that stat from Steve Mackinnon that I shared with you earlier, and I'll reiterate it here too, Mountain West team seeded 8th or worse, which is every Mountain West team in the field with the exception of San Diego State. Since 2003, 3-32 straight up, 5-28-2 against the spread. It is brutal. And you know how much I love this league, but it's so hard to trust them to advance. And so for as much as I like New Mexico, I don't know if I can have them winning more than one game.
Right. And I think this battle tested is so important. That's why I looked at conferences, right? Because like how many years has Gonzaga been the best team, the number one seed overall? And then struggled when they're battle tested. They didn't have the calluses that you need to be a champion. They didn't have the defeats. Everything was pretty much smooth sailing. They didn't have a game where they had to fight back to win it or play an opponent who beat them. And for a coach, you want to lose a game here and there to reinforce your team, to kind of get them back to center ground. And I think that's why I favored the bigger conferences, because, sometimes losses, although they're hard to take, They allow you to rebuild yourself. They allow you to define yourself. And I think sometimes with the Mountain West, there's just not enough of that, right? And I think Will made a great point. We have too many teams from the Mountain West and not enough teams from the Big East. Yeah. I mean, his point is well taken. If St. John's is the 29th ranked team statistically, and KenPom has no bias in it whatsoever, this is just all based on numbers. How could they not have made the tournament? And then they put Virginia in, who's ridiculously bad? Come on.
Yeah, there were a lot of clown moves made from the committee. It's weird to me that this is what they do. Like, they are all in this room genuinely having open discussions, and they're supposed to be the smartest people in the sport that are making these decisions. And ultimately, we get, you know, just terrible decisions across the board. Neither here nor there, Michael. Okay, hit me with your final four. And I would love to know as well if you have any, like, major upsets in the first round or along the way that you'd like to share.
Yeah, I'm still going through that. I went to a Final Four. I kind of worked I worked frontwards, not backwards. And so, you know, I think Creighton, when you look at Creighton, I think somebody's going to come out there. And I think Creighton's a battle-tested team, right? I know what Tom Crean said about they caught UConn on a perfect timing and all that. But I just think this Creighton team's good, and I like them. And I think the Blue Jays have a chance to, you know, to do something. So I wanted to get them in the tournament. I wanted to get them in the final. There's no way I was going to keep UConn out of it because they're too good. And they've been battle tested. I'm hesitant with my other team. I took Alabama to come out of the South there because I felt like, look, anybody can win there. But Kentucky was the other team I took. I think Kentucky, if they're playing any kind of defense and they're able to shoot well, they're a hard team to play. Yeah. So I took two Southeast Conference teams. I took Creighton and UConn.
For inquiring minds, if you would like to tail Michael's selections here, a four-pick region winner parlay pays $10 to win over $7,000. Put those bad boys together. Like I said, we're perfect right now. We got a ways to go, but perfect right now. Yeah. Alabama is the one that, for me, I had them getting tripped up by North Carolina on that side of the bracket. I am still trying to figure out who I have to win it all, but I have North Carolina coming out of the West as my winner and in the Final Four. I really, really am high on Auburn. And I know it's the same side of the bracket where UConn is, who you obviously had put in there in your Final Four. And I could very easily see that happen. They are the favorites to win it all and be the first repeat champion since Florida did it in 07 for a reason. But I'm pretty high on this Auburn team right now. I love the way that they played in that SEC tournament. KenPom, they're number four in net. They're number five. They should not be in the seeding that they are. So plus 380 for them to get into the Final Four. North Carolina, as I referenced, plus 260 coming out of the West. I, similar to you, had Creighton as a three seed at 4-1 coming out of the Midwest. And in the South, I'm taking a shot that the depth, I know that with the injuries and the question marks about Houston, maybe a little suspect, but that side of the bracket, I just really feel like they'll be able to work their way through. I have them beating Nebraska, Duke, and Kentucky along the way. Kentucky's that final win that'll punch their ticket from the Elite Eight into the Final Four. And that's coming from somebody that has a future on Kentucky. So I was really struggling putting this together. And then we got to give a shout out to our guy, Elliot. Oh, real quickly, my four-pick region winner parlay, $10 to win 2063. Elliot, a little chalky here. He's got two one seeds, a two, and a three. He has UConn out of the East.
Yeah, of course.
Arizona out of the West. Purdue. Kentucky out of the South. And then, yeah, to the surprise of no one, he has Purdue out of the Midwest and winning it all. Purdue is going to pull a Virginia after losing in the 16-1 game against Fairleigh Dickinson last year. They're going to win it all in 2024, according to a completely non-biased producer, Elliot Bowman, who is hyping up the control room as we speak.
I love it. You know, this is what makes it so much fun because, look, you know, if Purdue can play their best, they can get to where he needs to go. But we have not seen that. It's funny. No one has Tennessee. No one trusts Rick Barnes. It's interesting. You know, it's like you go through this. And then Kentucky, Stormy, when's the last time? I think you got to go back to 14 when the last time they've made it to a Sweet 16. Like, they have not, and we both have them in the finals, and they haven't really been able to deliver come tournament time. They've been eliminated before the Sweet 16. So I think that's right. I think I looked that up. It was 16 or it's been a while. Let me put it to you. And they haven't won a national championship in forever.
I have them getting to the Elite Eight. And we'll talk about some of these individual games as the week goes on, because just the first four of these next 2 days, the true action gets underway on Friday. But like, I have McNeese winning a couple of games here and going far. I do not trust Tennessee and Rick Barnes. I like Oregon to get a win and Dana Altman to continue his first round success. So a lot more college hoops to discuss throughout this week and leading up to the Final Four coming up at the end of the month and beyond. Awesome show as always, Michael. I'll see you tomorrow.
Great show, Stormy. Thank you.